Friends, I think I'd be remiss today if I didn't put the lessons of our gospel within the context of what we're all going through in current events. So I want to kind of draw out three lessons from our gospel today that I think shed some light on our current situation. The first is that God's well never runs dry. That God's well never runs dry. So while toilet paper may run dry, God's grace never does. And so while the health of the body is always somewhat fickle, and may seem especially fickle in this time, the health of the soul is never in question as long as we're drinking from the streams of life-giving water. While the health of the body is always fickle and may seem especially fickle now, the health of the soul is never in dispute if we're drinking from the streams of life-giving water. St. Paul calls it in our second reading the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is poured into our hearts and given to us, and the Samaritan woman gets the experience of talking with the one who gives us life-giving water. To put this gospel in context, in our Gospel of John class in seminary, the professor who I learned probably, so 95% of my homilies, you can thank this one particular professor I had on biblical studies. But one of the questions he posed when we get to this chapter is he would say, before we read it, he'd say, what happens at wells in the Bible? And us really astute seminary students had no clue. We had no clue. We thought we knew the Old Testament. We had no clue. And so then he would tell us, all right, gentlemen, open your Bibles. And he would take us back and he would show us three passages. First, where Isaac's servant meets Isaac's wife, Rebecca, at a well. Then he'd show us where Jacob meets Rachel, his wife, at a well. And then he showed us where Moses meets his wife, Zipporah, at a well. And so he would always say, you know what happens at wells in the Bible? Love. People fall in love at wells in the Bible. It's actually a marriage thing. And so when I have engaged couples who come in and first meeting, I'll be like, where did you meet? And you always know when they look at each other and are like, they're kind of scared to say something, you know they met at a bar, right? They met at a bar. Or actually today it's changed a little bit. They could have met at online dating, and for some reason there's still a stigma attached to that. I think that should be gone. But anyway, it's either that they met at a bar and they're embarrassed to tell me that, or that they've met online, like CatholicSingles.com or something. But I always tell them, if they met at a bar, don't be ashamed. In the Bible, that's where people meet, at watering holes, right? People meet at watering holes in the Bible. There's nothing to be ashamed about with meeting at a bar, even though no young people call bars watering holes anymore. But so they still don't even get it when I say it, you know? So I think the readers, the hearers of this story, would have been much more astute than us seminary students. They would have known, okay, there's a well, and Jesus is meeting a woman there. This is a marriage story. This is a spiritual marriage, a spiritual union that happens, where this woman finds in Jesus what her first five husbands could never supply. She finds the completion of her nature in a way that no other relationship or human good that she had experienced up to that point, she found her fulfillment in the person of Jesus. It was a spiritual love story that the hearers would have seen, a spiritual union that this woman found in Jesus. That the living water that he provides is not like physical water. It's not like anything else that we can experience in the material universe. It's something deeper. It completes us and it fulfills us in a deeper way. So friends, the well never runs dry. And as we experience risks to the health of our body. Let's remember the spiritual truth. The health of the soul is never in question if we're drinking from the streams of the Holy Spirit, the streams of living water. The second is that I really enjoy the confusion of the disciples in this passage. The reason I read the really long version is because the disciples are clueless this entire scene. They are absolutely lost. Jesus is having this intimate, incredible encounter with this woman, and all the disciples care about is lunch. It's all they're concerned about. They leave to go to get lunch, then they come back and they see Jesus hasn't been fed, and they're like, well, someone must have bought him lunch. I mean, they are absolutely out of touch and clueless with regard to the deeper meaning of this scene. And I have to admit, I'm connecting this to coronavirus because I have no idea what's going on. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out with the rest of us. I've learned more about social distancing and flattening the curve this week than I ever wanted to know in my life. And I feel like we're kind of all uncertain as to what's going on. Right? I have mixed feelings about everything. Like, I have the mixed feelings of, I was on the Habitat trip when we're getting these emails, and the students, some of which are over here, are just crushed. And to be honest, I was partially excited that they were crushed in the sense that they love being here. I mean, I wasn't like excited you were crushed, but to me, it actually brought me joy, because I think if I would have got that email in college, I would have just been thrilled. I've been like, get like 6 months of summer, you know, even though they do have to go to classes online, okay? But how much they were crushed to leave this faith community and to leave their friends and the dorm stuff, like it was, to me, actually, it was like incredibly uplifting that like this means so much to them. But the mixed feelings of that, the mixed feelings of like, what am I going to do for the next month and a half? But then I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of things that I've been putting off that I can do. I can pray more. I can do some things I haven't been doing. The mixed feelings of telling my mother, who's never missed Mass in her life, Mom, you should probably not go to church today. And she fought me. You're a priest. You're not supposed to tell me to miss Mass. All of the mixed feelings in sports, if you're in sports, and the end of your season, there's just so much that is uncertain right now. I kind of feel like the apostles in this gospel who just don't know exactly what's going on. We're just trying to do the best we can, but Jesus is there as our teacher and as our guide and the one who's sitting there still beside us, and the divine physician is going to somehow walk through this with us. The third thing I want to connect is that all we're hearing right now is the negative version of being contagious. All we hear right now is transmissibility and what it takes to spread this. And I just want to draw our attention in the gospel to the opposite, which is just as a virus can spread incredibly quickly, as we're seeing, so can the life and goodness of Jesus. Immediately after this encounter, the Samaritan woman is contagious with Jesus. She goes immediately to her townspeople and spreads the good news that this guy may in fact be the Messiah. He might be the Son of the Living God. You should go find out for yourself. She's contagious with the love of Jesus. And so as we will get through this time together, we have to remember that just as quickly, maybe, as something negative can spread, so can positivity spread. So can the good news of life and of truth and of goodness spread. It can be just as contagious. And I was honored to be with so many of these students at Habitat this week, and our group that was in Appalachia, our group that was in Peru, that I'm hoping will get home okay, that they were spreading, contagious with service for the sake of the gospel this past weekend. And so spreading that right now might be different, right? Spreading the good news, you know, we're social distancing doesn't allow us necessarily to spread as much as we'd like. So it may look different in this time. But it's important to remember that fundamental truth that we can be just as contagious with love and with service and with the good news of Jesus as other things can spread and be contagious. This is a strange time for all of us. We will get through this together as a community of faith, working together. But I think this gospel is really kind of cool for us today to focus on our spiritual health is not in jeopardy if we're drinking from the well that is the power of the Holy Spirit and the springs of life-giving water. We may feel like the apostles in this gospel, kind of we're trying to figure it out too. We're not getting maybe the whole picture and the deeper meaning of what's going on. We're just going with the advice of the people that are telling us what to do. And it's important to remember the incredible, powerful effect that being contagious with love and with generosity and service can have. I want to end by just asking for special prayers for those in healthcare work who do not have the opportunity to socially distance, who do not have the ability to limit their risk of exposure. I want to thank all of the members of our community who are in that field, who are and first responders of any kind. I want to thank you and assure you of our prayers. Anyone, we obviously pray for those who have contracted this disease. And we just ask that the divine physician would be with all of us in this community as we try to navigate this the best that we can and learn from the Samaritan woman in our lives and in our faith lives. Amen.